inside. Jeremy from Kentucky, Spirit
Edition on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to do a Christmas show tonight, and the sermon clip is one on shepherds seeking a savior from Pastor B. For the sake of time, let's go ahead and roll into that clip, Mike, and I'll do my shilling on the other side of the first break.
Well, turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, as we'll continue through on our Christmas themed exhortations. Luke chapter 2. We can't leave out Luke chapter 2 if we're going to do Christmas themed exhortations. You know, I love Christmas. It's the time of the year when I get to sing probably my favorite hymn. I've been told I say that about all the ones that I sing, but this one really is my favorite, I think. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We've sang it a few times already, but I love the words of that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It was written by Wesley, and then Whitfield came along and Calvinized it. And so when you've got Wesley and you've got Whitfield in a song, it's going to be really good. Amen? Glory to the newborn King. Listen to these words. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled.
Amen.
Joyful, all the nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Risen with healing in His wings, mild He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Isn't that beautiful? Listen, born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Have you been born again? That's why Jesus came. Hark the herald angels sing. 2,000 years ago, the Creator Himself entered into His creation. The Eternal One became bound by time. Now that'll stretch the mind for a minute if you'll think about it. The incarnate deity, as the song said. The one who created food experienced hunger. What humility. The one who possesses infinite attributes took upon Himself finite qualities. There was no celebration. There was no crowd. There was no parade. There was nothing when this happened. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Brother Charlie mentioned last week that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Well, how did this prophecy come to pass? How did the Messiah end up being born in Bethlehem? How did it come to be fulfilled? It was a census from a pagan king. Isn't that amazing? A pagan king issues out a census, and that drives Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem at just the right time for Christ to be born where Micah said He would be born at. Isn't that amazing? Listen to Luke chapter 2. Let's look in a few of these verses. Verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, this Caesar Augustus, he really was quite a fascinating person. He had a lot of military skill, a lot of political skill. He put an end to all the civil war in Rome. He extended the Roman Empire west of Europe all the way to modern-day Iraq. He brought in the Pax Romana, which is the Roman peace. Peace was reigning. Massive roads were built. Transportation was made easy. At just the right time, this facilitated the spread of the gospel to the nations. At just the right time when this Caesar was reigning and transportation was made a little easier, the gospel hooked onto that transportation and went everywhere. It's amazing. Galatians says, at the right time, at the fullness of time, at just the right time, Christ was born. And He sends out this decree that the whole world should be registered. This is a counting of all under the Roman rule. This is a numbering of each nation by family and by tribe. You would have names and the population statistics would be gathered and later, we read, used for poll taxes. In verse 2, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. You know, just to note, when the revelation of God enters into the world, it makes an immediate contact with real history, doesn't it? The Bible enters into historical accounts. This was a real person at a real time, under real people, governing in Syria at this time. This is God's revelation given verifiable because it's demonstrated through historical fact. The Bible interacts with real history, which validates the authenticity of the accounts that are given. That's amazing to me how detailed Luke is in his history. So this puts the birth of Jesus probably somewhere around 6 to 4 B.C., and I'm not going to tell you how we know that. You just have to take my word for it. Quirinius was governor of Syria, and this registration was handed out. Verse 3, and then all went to be registered, each to his own town. So this drove Joseph and Mary back to Bethlehem. Look at verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why did he go there? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. She had to go with him to be registered. This was a census given, a decree given from the Caesar, and you have to go. This is about a 90-mile trip on the back of a donkey through rough terrain with a pregnant woman. This was quite a trip that they had to make at this time. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. While they were there, how'd they get there? This pagan king issues out a decree, which brings them to the place that the Bible said the Messiah would be born at. And while they were there, it just so happened that the Messiah is born because of this decree. Bible prophecy concerning the Messiah was fulfilled here. This Caesar that we just spoke of was not a believer. He was far removed from this little town of Bethlehem. And the plan of God, he knew nothing of the plan of God, but by his actions, he enters into and crosses both of these, Bethlehem and the plan of God. He fulfills God's plan through his decree. I'm reminded of Proverbs 21:1, that the heart of the king, it's in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it where he will. It's the Lord who governed this Caesar's heart to issue this decree, which brought Joseph and Mary to the place where the Bible said Jesus would be born at. What an amazing providence. Verse 7, and she gave birth to her first son, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no vacancy. There was nowhere for them to stay at the place they arrived at, probably because of all the people that were in town for this registration to happen. There was nowhere for them to stay. The king who will one day rule and possess the entire earth has nowhere to stay at his birth. Isn't this amazing contrast in humility of the Lord Jesus? She gave birth to him and she put him in a manger. The word manger means feeding trough. He literally was laid in a feeding trough. Now, no stable is actually mentioned in the account. We don't have an account that he was born in a stable or in a cave. I know I'm upending your Christmas tradition in the manger scene. I know that. We did that to Santa Claus. Now I'm doing it to the manger scene. The wise men are next, and that's, you're just going to hear all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to ruin your childhood. I'm sorry. But he was laid in this manger. Now, we do believe it was a stable because there was no place for them in the inn, and people, when they stayed at the inn, they would have to have a place to house their animals, a parking lot, so to speak, or the animals would stay while they stayed in the inn. So more than likely, they got to the inn, there was no room, so they had to stay in the parking garage where the animals were, and he was laid in this feeding trough to be born. This is, again, the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, entering into his creation. Verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds out in the fields. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, if you are a public relations representative and you are tasked with promoting the greatest message of all time, shepherds would be the last people you would appear to because they are nobodies in society. But here, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and tells them about this great king that's to be born here, appears to these shepherds. Isaiah 61 says the Messiah is coming to preach good news to the poor, to the lowly, to the humble, to the afflicted, to the outcasts, to the nobodies. Anybody qualify? Anybody a big name in the community? I'm not. We're nobodies. We're outcasts. We're not the movers and the shakers, just like these shepherds. But the angel appears to them. 1 Corinthians says, not many mighty, not many noble. God chooses the weak things in the world. Why? To shame the strong. He appears to shepherds. Insignificant, ignorant, uneducated, unskilled, simple, lowest on the social ladder, looked down on by people of nobility. In choosing to make known His plan in the world, God actually disdains the religious elite, bypasses the Pharisees, and sends the message to the lowest of all in society, just to prove a point, that the gospel reaches down to the worst of the worst, to the lowest of the low. Paul said, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. The gospel will reach to the lowest of the low. Isn't that good news if you're the lowest of the low? That's good news. He appears here to shepherds. And then the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Of course, they just saw an angel. They're scared to death. In verse 10, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Don't be afraid, because God is revealing His grace. Now, if God is present, you need to be afraid, unless He's revealing His grace. And then you don't have to be afraid. God is visiting mankind with what we're going to see here, a Savior. The angel says, I bring you good news. That's the word gospel. I'm bringing you the gospel, the evangelion, the good news in light of this great fear. And it's for all the people. It's not Jews only. It's for Gentiles also. This is good, good news. Men from every tongue and tribe and nation. So what is the good news? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. This implies the need to be rescued from God's wrath for your sins. You need a rescuer. You're sinful and God's angry with sinners. But what's been provided for you is a Savior today. Isn't that amazing? Matthew 1:21 says, He will save His people from their sins. It doesn't say He will try to save all people. It says He will save His people from their sins. A Savior who is Christ, the Anointed One, prophet, priest, and king. And He's also the Lord. He is God, sovereign over all, laying here in this feeding trough. The incarnate deity. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, while these shepherds are hearing this message, all of a sudden, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. At the announcement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all heaven breaks loose. And angels show up and just start shouting and praising God for the gospel that was just announced. Massive angel armies appear before these shepherds. You think one angel scared them? How do you think they're feeling when they see this multitude of heavenly armies standing before them? Amen. Praising God. All heaven literally breaks loose in praise in front of them. Peace among those with whom He is pleased. Peace among people, men of God's good pleasure. Salvation, peace. Listen, salvation, peace belongs to those whom God is pleased to give it to by His grace. Have you been given this gift of salvation? What was their response in verse 15? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Revelation from God leads to faith from these shepherds, and faith causes them to pursue Jesus. You see that? Have you been given a revelation from God from the book today? Have you mixed it with faith? Have you received it with faith? Has that faith driven you to seek Jesus? Let's go and find out what this thing is. Let's go and see what has been made known to us. And they went with haste. They hurried. They weren't taking their time. They got on with the program and they found Mary, Joseph, and then the baby lying in a manger. And after they received the revelation, after they believed it, after they sought Jesus, they became true witnesses to the gospel. Verse 17, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. God's revelation, met with faith, leads to seeking Jesus and causes them to be witnesses. They were the first New Testament evangelists. They're going and telling other people about what they have found. And it ends with praise in the heart. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Are you with the shepherds today? Are you the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst? The gospel can reach you. It can make you a worshiper. It can make you an evangelist. If you want to be an evangelist, just find someone who doesn't know what you know and tell them what you know. That's all you have to do. You can do that.
That's right.
Tell them the gospel. That's what the shepherds did. They weren't educated, but they were telling everybody about this. And God was praised. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the incarnate deity that was laid in this feeding trough, this Savior who is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the significance of these shepherds, Lord. The most insignificant among all of society is given the greatest news that could be given to the world. There's hope for us today. There's hope for those here that are outcasts, that are the lowest of the low, that are the worst and chiefest of sinners. They can be saved. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here that you're drawing on, that they would be saved and born again today so that they can seek the Lord, so that they can be witnesses, so that they can praise you for the gospel you've made known to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was the sermon clip from our young local pastor, Pastor B, on the shepherd seeking a Savior. And as he pointed out, the birth of Christ is marked by real historical figures. You have Caesar Augustus in the census, right around 10 BC. And it would have taken a bit of time for that to have gone about the Middle East. You have Quirinius, governor of Syria. Both of these individuals mentioned in Luke 2. Quirinius conquered, he was a Roman general, conquered the Syrian area in 6 to 5 BC. He wasn't officially coronated as governor as of yet, but he did rule that area militarily between 6 and 5 BC. And then the third historical marker would be Herod the Great. As he is titled in history, I would call him Herod the Terrible. He did the slaughter of the innocents. He died in the spring of 4 BC, probably around March or April. And this was documented by Flavius Josephus, historian, that a lunar eclipse was. The fact that he's had a break with more commentary on hindsight.
Hark, the herald angels singing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Joyful all ye.
Join the triumph of the skies.
The angelic host proclaim.
Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Welcome back. Merry Christmas edition of Spiritual Health and Wellness. You know, it's Jeremy. And we just got to be playing our sermon clip. Please donate to RBN. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Mail it to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And for every $100 that you donate, you'll be eligible to win a book from John Statman with a library. Please get your name in there and keep free speech alive. Also, after you've donated to RBN, you can help me build my Dodge work truck with a GoFundMe. Donate to me, and it'll be in the show script of all of my shows. Also, there's my Cash App address, and you can email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com. That link will be in there as well. If you need to send a check or money order, just email me, and I'll give you the address. So, Christmas time, and we're taking your calls. If you want to call in, weigh in, 1-800. Or if you're cell phone challenged, or if you have a cell phone with unlimited minutes, you can call 512-248-8252. Taking your calls live for your wings, not drive. Share a Christmas memory, or comment on the Christmas story, or something else that you want to bring up. I wanted to get into Matthew chapter 1. The speaker focused on Luke 2, and that is a common go-to for the Christmas time. But I wanted to highlight Matthew 1 and the events there, specifically Herod the Great, also, as I know him, Herod the Terrible, and the slaughter of the innocents. Matthew is significant in that it documents the genealogy of Joseph, who was not the father of Jesus, but he was the husband of Mary. Mary, the mother of Christ, her genealogy is documented in Luke chapter 2, or Luke 1 and 2. But in Matthew, it really emphasizes Jesus being of the house of David. Starting with verse 18 of chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows: after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. She wound up pregnant before they were married. They were engaged. And the engagement was as strong as a marriage at this time. And he could have actually had her stoned. He could have had her put to death. So he was going to put her away privately, divorce her. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that name Jesus, in the Hebrew, Yeshua, and translated into Greek, the New Testament's written in Greek, and that's where we get the English name Jesus. But it literally means Yah is salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. It's the mirror image of the name Isaiah, by the way, Yoshiyahu, which means salvation is of Yah, or salvation is of the Lord, and it mentions a specific name, salvation is of Jehovah. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, and that would be the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. El at the end of Emmanuel, that's Elohim, that's the Hebrew for God. 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and he did not know her. That would mean a sexual connotation. He did not have sexual relations with her until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? Well, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, these wise men from the east, that would be directly east of Jerusalem. This would be the Persian Empire. If you've studied the book of Daniel, you'll know that Daniel, under first Nebuchadnezzar and then later Darius the Mede, Daniel achieved a very high-ranking position. He received visions from the Lord. He was able to interpret dreams. His companions survived the fiery furnace, and Daniel himself survived the den of lions for refusing to worship false gods. Daniel, because of his unique gift of prophecy, was in charge of the wise men. These are the very same wise men, the generations down from them, that would visit Christ. Back on the other side of the break, with more on Matthew 1 and 2.
Savior Christ on his day, on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day, oh Savior Christ on his day, on Christmas Day.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy-to-take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy-to-take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Pray may the settlership so free.
On Christmas Day.
Pray may the settlership so free.
On Christmas Day
in the barn.
They sailed into Bethlehem on Christmas Day. They sailed into Bethlehem on Christmas Day in the barn.
Christmas edition inside spiritual health and wellness. We're just talking about the wise men and how in the book of Daniel, you see that the prophet Daniel was made ruler over the wise men. He would have taught them all things regarding the coming of the Messiah. In Daniel 9, he was given a vision of the 77s. We don't have time in this broadcast to delve deep into that, perhaps in another one. But it was revealed to Daniel that there would be a period of time approximately 483 years from the rebuilding of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, and the rebuilding of Jerusalem for the coming of Messiah. So the wise men, generations down, would have had privy to this knowledge. They would have known the teachings of Daniel, and this is how they knew where to go and when to come. Also, they were guided by a star. Now, we think of star as a burning gas that's like in space. But a star in the Bible could be a shining object in the sky. So, like in Revelation, you have stars falling. This is an actual burning ball of gas that would incinerate the earth. These would be like meteorites, right? So there was some sort of a supernatural burning element in the atmosphere that guided these wise men to the place where they should go. They saw his star. And not knowing exactly where Bethlehem was, they went to the capital, Jerusalem, and they assumed that the king there would have been privy to this prophecy. Of course, he was not. Herod the Great was an Edomite. He was of Esau, and Israel is of Jacob. So you had a foreigner installed by the Roman government ruling over Israel. And the Bible does say in the Old Testament that when a foreigner rules over you, you're under judgment. And so Israel, still being the leadership, the Jewish establishment being idolatrous and working, governing after their own man-made laws, they were under judgment. So Herod the Great was not even an Israelite. He was an Edomite, and he was an evil, wicked man. But these wise men didn't know that, so they came to him seeking to where, you know, as to where Bethlehem was, where is the Messiah. So verse 3 of Matthew 2 is where we're at. When Herod the king heard this about the wise men, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. But thus it was written by the prophet, this was the prophet Micah, verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So gold being the metal of a king, frankincense, royalty, and myrrh, what you would embalm someone with for their death. Very prophetic in the person of the incarnate God, second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, that he is a king, he is of royalty, but he would die. He would die for the sins of mankind. Verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and there was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son, the prophet Hosea, Hosea 11, verse 1. Interesting, until the death of Herod. So we have another, you know, this timeline, the death of Herod being in the spring of 4 BC. So Christ would have had to have been born just before that. That's why we place his birth approximately late 5 BC, you know, no later than early 4 BC, for these events to have taken place. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he set forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. So under 2 years old, so the wise men, had noticed the star within the last 2 years. And it had taken them this time. So that's how we're narrowing this birth of Christ down, right, between 6 and 4 BC. Anyway, back to 2 verse 17. Then it was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Interesting that Jeremiah's words on this were talking of the children went off in Babylonian captivity. But Matthew is using this as another means of applying prophecy to the women, the mothers weeping for their children, the males 2 years old and under, who were destroyed in Bethlehem at the order of Herod the Terrible. Verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside to the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. This is where, you know, the Lord Jesus was not a Nazarene, actually, but he shall be called a Nazarene. So he was actually of the city of David in Bethlehem. That's his lineage, and the genealogy is very clear in Matthew 1 and Luke 1 and 2. Again, we go to Luke's gospel, we go to Luke's account of the parallel passage, and we see that Joseph and Mary, shortly after Christ's birth, after 8 days, he was circumcised, and then he was brought to the temple and dedicated. So the dedication in the temple happened before they went to Egypt, if you want to put this on a timeline. The Lord was born in the feeding trough, visited by the shepherds in Luke 2. That was the first part of the account. Then after 8 days, he was circumcised, and Mary and Joseph brought him to Jerusalem and dedicated him in the temple. We read this in Luke 2. Then the events in Matthew 1 take place, where Herod the Great was visited by the wise men, and he understood that the Messiah was a threat to his rule. Being a pagan, wicked king, he sought to destroy the child. So then the wise men visited Christ, and before Herod could order the death of the innocents in Bethlehem, Joseph, the woman in the dream, fled to Israel with Mary and Jesus. And then on the way back, they totally bypassed Jerusalem and went straight to Nazareth. That's how the two gospel accounts, if you put them together, that's the timeline. And there's no contradictions there. You just have to carefully study and follow the timeline. Each gives their account, Matthew and Luke. Matthew being the man of Israel, one of the disciples, and Luke being a Gentile, a Greek doctor. Who also wrote the majority of the early part of the book of Acts, documenting the rise in the early church. That's the Christmas story from Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Fascinating how these people in power seek to kill the unborn. That's sort of a theme of wicked rulers. I wanted to share this article with you. Again, you can call it if you want. I don't see anybody on the call screen. And no one's called, so I'm going to go on with the article here. I found it very interesting. From Birmingham in the UK, a female was arrested for praying outside of an abortion clinic, Isabel Vaughn Spruce. From the Birmingham Mail, a woman has been charged with breaching an exclusion zone outside of Birmingham abortion clinic. Isabel Vaughn Spruce, age 45, from Malvern, Worcestershire, was arrested near the BPAS Robert Clinic in Norton on December 6th. She was later charged with breaking a public space protection order set by Birmingham City Council to have been introduced to ensure that people visiting and working there in the abortion clinic have clear access without fear of confrontation. Vaughn Spruce will appear at Birmingham Magistrates Court on February 2nd of 2023. West Midlands police spokesperson said Isabel Vaughn Spruce was arrested on December 6th and subsequently charged on December 15th with 4 counts of failing to comply with a public space protection order. She was bailed and was to appear at Birmingham Magistrate February 2nd, 2023.
This is Britain's version of the Faith Act. So if you remember, I covered this, that both Mark Houck of Pennsylvania and Paul Vaughn of Centralville, Tennessee, both of these men were arrested for protesting outside of abortion clinics. And they were found to violate the FACE Act. This is the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act in 1994, FACE. It makes it a federal crime to physically obstruct the entrance to a clinic or to use force or the threat of force for physical obstruction, such as a sit-in, so that would include a protest, to interfere with, injure, or intimidate clinic workers or women seeking abortions or other reproductive services. This is pretty much a go-around, just getting completely around the First Amendment. Both these individuals, Mark Houck and Paul Vaughn, they had every right under the First Amendment to protest, you know, under their religion, the killing of innocent babies outside of these clinics. In the case of the one from Tennessee, there was an instance of a shoving match. One of the pro-abortion protesters shoved, got in his son's face, and the man shoved the back, got him out of the son's face. Because of the physical altercation, it was brought to court. The court dismissed it, but the feds came in and arrested him under this FACE Act. And so that appears sort of to be what's happening here in Birmingham, UK, under what they're calling the the PSPO protection order, stating that no one can obstruct a clinic that would provide reproductive services to women. And really what it is murder. So I'm mentioning this on the heels of the Matthew 1 and 2 reading, that these evil, wicked people in power, and hate children, they have no regard for children. Herod was willing to kill an entire city of toddlers because he wanted to get rid of the Messiah, who would be a threat to his throne. Knowing, get this, in Matthew 2, Herod called the wise men, or he called the scribes together, and got counsel of them. He gathered all the chief priests and scribes. Where was the Christ to be born? The Christ, the anointed one inside. He knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew exactly what this was. You know, intellectual knowledge. And he went to kill him anyway. I would put forth also that as Jesus walked the earth, the Jewish scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew who he was. He performed all the miracles. He quoted all of the Old Testament prophecies that told about his coming. And yet they knew who he was, but yet they went against him anyway. The people in power, their wickedness blinded them. They have no regard for human life, and they don't care about the truth. I mean, isn't this true of the wicked leaders that have been placed over us today? They know what's true. They know what's right and wrong. They know what's wrong to advocate for the mutilation of the genitals of children. They know what's wrong. Everything that they've done to us, they know exactly what's going to come. They're doing it anyway. They're power hungry and blinded by their own wickedness and sin. And to these people, God will bring judgment, and indeed we are in the judgment. I fear that America will see, I think our generation will see the collapse we're seeing right now economically. But I'm talking about the physical collapse. I'm talking about cities being taken out. I don't know if the Lord will bring that through war with Russia and China, or if he'll bring it through some supernatural means. But that's why I emphasize getting involved in your local government, in your states, and setting, you know, getting back away from the federal government. Let them collapse. And perhaps the Lord will be gracious enough to let us rebuild from the rubble. Last break, back on the other side, the conclusion of the one side.
will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company. And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
So back to the conclusion of In Plain Sight, let's not forget why Jesus was born of a virgin, why God became flesh in the second person of the Trinity, and that is to die for our sins on the cross and to rise again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18. He who believes on him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only two kinds of people in the world, those that believe and those that don't. So which kind are you? Either you pay for your own sins, or you give them up to Christ to pay for them for you, believe in his death, burial, and resurrection as a substitution for your sins, for the payment for your sins. We don't have any callers, and it's getting to the end of the night. I want to end the show with the remainder of that song from George Frideric Handel, "Unto Us a Child Is Born." And y'all stay classy back tomorrow night with William Repellum, Roland Mike.
Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.